as the war in Ukraine rages on, there are so many lessons to be learned. Everything from political conflict to struggles for power, and even the analysis of military techniques that are being used. And as important as all of that is, I think it's really important for us to also look at cryptocurrency, how it's being used, and what the implications are moving forward. Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is the Part-Time Economist, and in today's lesson, I want to look at the role of cryptocurrency in the ongoing Ukraine-Russia conflict. Now, obviously, at the start of the video, I want to say that there's a lot bigger issues than cryptocurrency going on here, right? There's immense human suffering, there's economic turmoil, there's struggles for power on the international scale, and obviously, that is super important. So by talking about cryptocurrency, I'm not downplaying those other issues. I'm not saying that cryptocurrency should take center stage because it's the most important, but as bad as this situation is, I think we can still learn about cryptocurrency and the role it's playing, as well as gaining some lessons that might be useful going forward. So, first thing, I want to talk about cryptocurrency in a variety of angles. So I want to look at it from an individual's perspective, as well as from state actors as well. So let's start off with an individual perspective. So the idea here is that as this situation develops in Ukraine, what they're doing is they're limiting the withdrawals from bank accounts. So they're saying you can only withdraw, I'm just rounding here, about $3,400 per day. They're limiting the foreign exchange market, all of these things. And people that are trying to flee the country, they might have $100,000 in their bank account, but they can only pull out $3,400 a day. And this can be very frustrating. It could, in some cases, even be life-threatening because you're trying to withdraw money that you think is yours, but when you need it the most, you can't get it. You can't get that money to go somewhere else. And yes, you can go somewhere else, but you're still going to need that money to pay rent, buy food, all of these things. So, and again, this isn't saying Ukraine is bad for limiting withdrawals because we see countries always do this, right? Whenever there's an economic situation or a conflict or the financial system just can't handle what's going on, countries will always impose these limits, right? It's not, you know, saying Ukraine is bad. Like, this is just standard practice for governments to do. Sometimes it's a high withdrawal limit, $3,400. In some cases, maybe it's lower, only $100 per day. But the central theme here is that they will place those limits, and maybe it's necessary for the long-term survival of the country. Maybe it's in the best interest. I'm not making a value call on that. What I am saying is, from an individual perspective, if I'm an individual and I'm trying to get out of there, right? I'm not going to stay and fight. I'm trying to leave. This money is mine. I want my money. The traditional banking system isn't going to allow that. So I can't remember where I found this tweet. I tried to look it back up, but someone was basically saying that they had their credit accounts frozen in Ukraine. They're trying to obviously survive, but they've got Bitcoin, they've got Ethereum, and they've got some NFTs in their cryptocurrency wallet. And with this, it's literally saving their life because they can pay for these things that they need now. And that's the idea with cryptocurrency, because a lot of times in the West, we're relatively safe and it's, you know, Dogecoin to the moon, right? I want my Lambo. Where's this massive return on investment? And that is important. A lot of people invest in cryptocurrency for that nice return that has so far been expected with cryptocurrencies, obviously subject to change, but that's important for a lot of people. But we can never forget that cryptocurrency was not intended to make millionaires. It was intended as a decentralized peer-to-peer payment system. And we see that really shines in these scenarios where you can't withdraw your cash, when you can't use the traditional banking system. So in that sense, it empowers individuals. However, just as we see that it can empower individuals, it can also empower state actors. And the point that I want to make here is not necessarily that crypto is good or bad. Really, I want to say that cryptocurrency is neutral. It's a tool. It can be used for good or bad. And to kind of give an example of the bad, traditionally, basically the consensus is that NATO, the West, they're the good guys in this. Russia's the bad guys, right? So what we're trying to do is we're saying, hey, we're going to put sanctions on Russia, and we're going to basically limit their ability to interact with the financial system. This is going to bring them to the table. They're going to negotiate, and hopefully we can avoid any more of this conflict, right? The problem with that is that a lot of these sanctions are imposed by the traditional banking system. So I'm just making up an example here. This isn't, you know, exactly accurate, but let's suppose Russia is trying to buy some weapons and is trying to send that payment to another country. The banking system says, oh, this is a Russian transaction. We're going to stop it. It's not going through and Russia can't get those weapons. What we're seeing here is that digital currencies operate outside the realm of standard global banking, with transactions recorded on a public ledger known as the blockchain. So the idea here is that they can avoid these sanctions by paying with cryptocurrency. So we have two examples of banks essentially doing the same thing, right? One, it's a good scenario. One, it's like a bad scenario. So the good scenario, we're saying, oh, we want the banks to freeze Russia's transactions. We want that because it's for a good cause. And cryptocurrency says, nope, you can't do it. They can use cryptocurrency. And then we have a, you know, kind of a bad situation where we say, hey, I'm trying to get out of this country and the bank's freezing my money. And cryptocurrency says, nope, you can't freeze their money. They can take their cryptocurrency and they can go wherever they want. So the idea here, cryptocurrency shouldn't be thought of as good or bad. It's a tool that allows individuals or state actors to perform a variety of actions independent of the banking system. And that's really the case that I'm trying to make here. Now, just as we saw the good, the bad, we see that it's really more complicated than that, because just as we would say that Russia's the bad actor in this scenario, we also see traditional payment systems, right? So the concept of good guy and bad guy sometimes can be interpreted, right? What I'm trying to say with that is that Patreon is a system that allows people to obviously fund things, right? So with Patreon, a lot of these donations were going to Ukraine, but what happened is Patreon says, hey, we don't want any kind of involvement with things that are involved with military or weapons purchases or anything like that, regardless of their cause, right? So the idea here is that Patreon says, we don't want it. Yeah, Ukraine, you might be the good guys, you might be the bad guys. We don't care. We just don't want anything to do with weapons. And obviously, they are a private company. That is totally their choice. But I think most of us in the West that are saying, hey, we support Ukraine, we would want them to have that support and that assistance. And basically what it's saying is the backlash from Ukrainians was swift. Critics accused the platform of cutting off a crucial lifeline of self-defense, right? And if you're in that situation, you might feel the same way. But what we see here is that cryptocurrency is coming in. And again, it's not necessarily cryptocurrency coming in to be good. It's not cryptocurrency coming in to be bad. It's saying, if we want to donate money to these Ukrainians, we can donate money to these Ukrainians. So you just look here, it shows this massive, massive amount of cryptocurrency that is being donated because they can't donate, for example, through Patreon. So the idea here is that cryptocurrency, again, it's a neutral tool. And I think even Vitalik said that in one of its tweets here. He says, Ethereum is neutral, but I am not. And the idea here is that the tool itself, that cryptocurrency, is neutral. It can be used to send money to Ukraine. If you wanted to, I'm sure you could send cryptocurrency to Russia and help them if you, for whatever reason, thought that that was the right side of the conflict that you wanted to be on. So the idea here is cryptocurrency can do a variety of things. One last thing that I really wanted to touch on, and this is not by any stretch financial advice, it's just something to consider and kind of get you thinking. It says Bitcoin's safe haven narrative has almost completely fallen apart as the rising possibility of military conflict and worsening US-Russia relationships puts the wider financial market in risk aversion mode. So what we've seen is that the price of gold, the last time I checked, had been really going up as a result of this. We're seeing crypto kind of going down, and that's, again, not financial advice here, but it does, I think we should be asking questions here. This idea of Bitcoin as a safe haven, as a form of a digital gold, is that accurate? Why is Bitcoin not performing as many people hoped it would? And again, these are questions that you've got to answer for yourself. It's more of an investing question than it is an educational question. So I won't get too much into it here other than to say that it is a possibly interesting topic for further discussion and doing your own research. So, of course, there's always different perspectives, especially when we talk about something as complicated as this issue. So if there's something I missed, if you've got a different take on it, obviously be sure to leave it down in the comments below. As always, thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.